Each new year is a time of beginnings, a time to look back and then look to the future. Steve has lived in Boulder since 1958. He's a Fairview High School graduate, married to Robin, 3 children, 5 grandchildren. He's been busy. Here's an interesting note. He was married on the Flagstaff House patio. So he's rich. Would you welcome our brother Steve Thompson?
Thank you, Ed. It's a real honor and pleasure to be here with you guys. I've been here 2 or 3, maybe 5 times before on Zoom. I zoomed in when Gene Emmons was the speaker. I don't know him from the past. And then I caught that Gene Brown was going to be here. I think he took us through a bunch of songs that he sang on the way to Kansas City. That talk a few years ago. How many of you, by show of hands, were in Boulder in 1962? Nice. 3 of us? Any of you guys? Jim was? All right. Well, I lived up on Christmas Tree Drive, and I rode my bike. I was 7 years old, and I'd ride my bike around the Christmas tree and then maybe down over here to the bottom of the hill and back. But one day, my buddy Mike talked me into going all the way over to 7th. I mean, that's way out of bounds for me. And plus, I'm keeping going downhill. I'm going to have to come back up. Well, we ended up at, I think, his aunt's house or something. And she took us down into the basement. And it's full of books. And she pulls out this tape. And she goes, "Have you heard about how bad you are?" "Well, yeah, Christmas is coming up. Santa Claus, you're naughty or nice." And then the next piece was red. That's dying for us. And then the last piece was white, which, of course, when he was resurrected, he took care of us. That was my first introduction to Christ. I'm 7. I have no idea what I just saw, but I got a Bible. Look at that. It's pictures. It really looks nice up there. So here she wrote, December 2nd, 1962, second birthday. That was number one. Now, just a few years later, my mother had been taking me to the Methodist church downtown, and I caught wind they were going to give a Bible away. And she goes, "Well, Steve, you haven't been going to Sunday school. You shouldn't just show up and get the Bible." Says, "I'm going to go get the Bible." So I knew something was up. And let's see when this one lands. August 30th, 1964. Okay, so I'm cruising into the 5th grade there, and I've had exposure now twice to some stuff. Now, through high school, you know, I didn't partake in anything like this. And in fact, I remember we had a class, again, Fairview High School, and the teacher had us be on video, first time I'd ever been on video. And we were supposed to rank these 5 topics that she had, whatever, finance, world, hunger, population, relationships, and religion. And, you know, I rattled this all up, like, yeah, religion, I'm not into that. So I'm still pretty lost. Well, after our son and daughter, our older kids, were born, we're attending a church over in Longmont, and we're heading to vacation Bible school. I got my aid cart, and I got my little boy by the hand. We get up to the check-in there, and the lady says, he can't come in. "Boy, aid cart, go. No, you got to be 5. Well, he'd been running with Nicholas, who was a year older, you know, a couple that we knew, and that kid, and they wouldn't let him in. What's this? Get busted for vacation school? Something's not right here. So we started shopping, went to a number of churches, and we got into one there in Niwot. As I see him going in, they're carrying Bibles. Aha, a rule book. I got one of those. Maybe this is the thing to do. Well, about that time, it's the first time I saw a Baptist. It was an altar call and communion every week. And so I'm looking at him in the hot tub. We go another few weeks, you know, man, did they get in the hot tub? Can you believe that? They let me do that. Well, it took a couple of months before I kind of came around and God said, okay, it's time. So we get the altar call. We go up, I think it was August, or January 31st, 1988, and the heater was out. God has a sense of humor. I had a cold bath and came up shivering, and, you know, the rest for me.
Feels like perfect.
And this is about when the Promise Keeper thing took off, and I was an usher, and then became an elder, and I ran the men's ministry there. Personally started 9 men's groups. We'd have a monthly breakfast, and it was great. And I got the food together. I got the speaker. I got the music. And we ran up to sometimes 160 guys. We did a 2-hour, you know, once a month. And my claim to fame, what I'm most pleased about, is I gave away business cards. You know, I'd give them away the week before, and on the back it would give the dates. Well, 1 year I was able to get all the speakers and topics at the beginning of the year, so people knew right there. You want to hear Norm Miller speak? I kept wishing I'd done Vision. That's it. So whoever your program person is, I know what you go through here. I notice there are no other names on the list for the next few weeks, but I'm really happy to be here. So after that time, kind of flashback, you guys. A year after I was married, we were diagnosed with Hodgkin's disease. Mm-hmm. And they gave me 50% chance of living 5 years. The chemotherapy was brutal. In fact, I did 18 months of mistreatment. But after the chemotherapy, they sent me the radiation every day for 3 months. And that was a piece of cake compared to that. But I survived that. Again, we have 2 kids. And life is moving on. TK is doing great. I'm very active here in the community. And then 7 years an elder. Then my wife, she spent 9 years on staff here at a church in Boulder. And after knowing the insights of that church, the insights of the one that I was 7 years at, what kind of reminds me of the guy that he's on a desert island, and come to save him after so many years, and they land and go, "All right, thank you for coming. What are these 3 huts?" "Well, that's my house." "What's that?" "That's my church." "What's that one?" "That's the church I used to go to." And so I watch Charles Stanley on Sunday morning at 5, and then when I'm in Gunnison and where our house is, I go to Bethany Baptist, where they've got a guy that's after the students. What we tried to do in 1973 through 77 when I was on campus then. So that's kind of my story. My first round with cancer, if I hadn't had my Dale Carnegie training, I'd stop wearing and start living. I don't think I'd have survived. I mean, I'm okay with all those people survived. And so this really helped me. I played a lot of basketball, and when I went to radiation in the day, they didn't have laser knives and all, but they blocked me from here to here, and I'd lay there, and they'd roll over. Well, I played basketball at noon pickup. There are shirts and skins. So when I was a skin, look at this guy. He had magic markers all over the front. So I could stay over there and shoot all day long, and they didn't want to touch me. They thought, man, this guy's... But at the church here in town, much more understood the power of prayer and what's going on. So we told everybody to listen to what we're doing. And they prayed and prayed. I have to make my testimony there. We were into the 3rd chemotherapy round. And Dr. Hyde, you know, he gets the results. They did another test, you know, to see what we're doing. It's you. Never seen it. Whatever the measurements were, I was at 9 when we started, and through prayers and chemo, I was down to 2. Never seen it. So they sent me into the operating room, which again, I was terrified. 22 holes in me and oxygen, 3 days in intensive care, 10 days in the hospital. They said, you got about 18 months, 30% chance to live 18 months. I'm 8 years out. I got 4 more grandkids. God's got a plan for me. I'm just trying to figure it out. So we keep reading this. And we keep reading this. So the latest and greatest, and I got somebody behind me here that knows what's going on. I linked up with a group in my life. And we take a book, you know, we read it, we come together, we do a quick fellowship, and then we're off. So the one we're doing now, you know, is A Praying Life by Paul Miller. Anybody know him or seen him or anything? Well, Ed, he comes to the party. That's why he knows. So Ed, give him a card, would you? We spent some time on Tuesday praying for the people in the fire and that tragedy there. And to me, the miracle is there's only three people there, or two people that passed away. That's incredible what you see there. Incredible. Well, I do a goal setting session, done it for years. Always believed that I didn't want to do resolutions. I wanted to do goal setting and looking to the future. But I had to have them done by midnight on the 31st of December, or I turned into a pumpkin. I know that's another story. Sorry. But I got you guys a break that we're going to do some spiritual prayer focus right now. So when you get your 3x5 card, either you can put the date on there and you can put spiritual. I'm going to set a spiritual/prayer for 2022. And you can think about what your prayer life is like now. What happened to you during the year. What you'd like to focus on in 2022. I'm not going to ask anybody to share, okay? Requirement. I wrote something down here on Tuesday that I won't share. It's so close to me. It's such a challenge. But there's more than one. I got some that I can share. Think about in 2022. What do you want to stop doing? Start doing? Or do differently? In this book, Mr. Miller talks about his prayer cards. It's on page 120. About a third of the way through the book, and he has many of these. I know that next time I meet that Tuesday morning group, we'll be pulling out some journals. I already got them bought and ready to bring out to the guys. We can journal day in and day out, week in, week out, what our prayers are and how they've been answered. Anybody bold enough to give us an insight of what you're looking at for 2022? June.
I immediately when we both made out pharmacy, which is gosh, an oldie from the past. To not worry was the first thing that popped in my head. And then as I continued down my list, I put worry less and then pray more. And immediately when I put pray more, I'm going to flip those two. And I got to go back to praying more and worrying less. And then to just love, to love. And those are the first three I put that came to mind. But the book there would just, you know, trigger the whole thought process for me.
Thank you, Jim. Yeah, Dale has a full chapter on prayer. Christian. Count your blessings, not your troubles. Anybody read this? Anybody, Gina, anybody, Powell and Friends Influence People, Dale Carnegie Training?
I can't remember.
Well, we work on that. I spent 30 years as an instructor for Dale Carnegie in Colorado, six course instructor, and now retired. Used to be able to say this inside out, backwards and forwards. I get pretty close right now. Somebody else?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I have a verse for this year. The Lord delights in those who fear Him. This is Psalm 147:11. The Lord delights in those who fear Him and put their hope in His unfailing love. And it impresses me to fear God more. That is the source of my strength. And I often find myself tempted to multitask. And God is worth my full attention.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm really wanting to focus on that. So, he is my strength. He is my hope. So, he really merits my full attention.
Have the front row covered. What about the rest of you guys back there?
That's right. Deeper revelation.
Define revelation for us. How about one more?
That's a little different. Recently, I've been really convicted of all the sin over my life. And in doing that, I have a better understanding of Christ's death and how he took on the sin of the world in the past, present, and future. It's just, it lays you in the dirt. And then the grace of God comes and says, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. So quit looking at you, quit looking at your sin, just look at Jesus. And the other stuff kind of goes away.
Mm-hmm.
One more.
Yeah. I'm only allowed one. Sorry.
Well, then I'm going to erase all these headaches when I want. I can do all things in Christ.
I don't believe that.
You got a copy of the letter that he's been able to put together there. Make sure you take that with you when you leave. I'm taking my copy.
Yeah.
One more? Yes, sir.
And a scripture I ran across, it's kind of last week we didn't show up, but I ran across this to add to our conversation, the Galatians 6, 9 and 10. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have an opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith.
Thank you. Okay, now to not the spiritual world, but the rest of the world. Turn your card over. And down the left side, I want you to put two S's, two F's, and two P's. It's something like that. SS, each letter is going to stand for a topic. Okay, and the first S is what?
Soon.
Close. What's on the front page? Spiritual. So in your spiritual life, what are you doing? Whether you already got a card on how you're going to pray more or less or differently. The second S is social, and I don't really mean to have it ranked as second. It's just the S's go together. What are you going to do socially? I mean, my wife wants to go dancing, and I don't like staying up past 8:30, and they don't turn on the band till way past my bedtime, but I need to get her out and go dancing, you know, at some point this year. Okay, the first F stands for family. That's near and dear to us. I have 5 grandkids alive. We lost Porter in 2012, a full term, stillborn, still staggers my oldest daughter. And then the F would be financial. You have something you want to change in your financial world. And our last two are P's. I put physical as the first P. I'm a double, triple major at school. So I'm a finance and a physical education major. And I'm always doing something to keep active and keep going. And hopefully these put off some of this sore joint stuff and all that I got. And then the P, last one, is professional. You know, we do this in a public classes and private in-house classes, so you've got to look at all that. Professionally, I think I just want to be an evangelist, right? I'm sure the gospel. Got some great ideas for me. So that's your assignment. Before you go to bed tonight, again, I got you a week off. It's supposed to be done on the 31st of the year. You want to have an idea on each one of these 6 items. 5, you already got the first one done. And keep this with you. Part of the motivational world is, you know, you put it on your mirror, on your refrigerator, or you put it on the visor of your car. But remember this, your give-up goals, you want to share with everybody. Because they'll catch you up and say, we're going to eat sweets anymore. Caught you. You know, typically, that's where it goes. But your most intimate aspiration goals, you only share with your confidants. Because, you know, if you start saying you want to be the leader of this group every week for a year, somebody's out there going to go, nah, I don't think so. And the secular world, they start knocking you down because they don't want you to get ahead. So share your give up goals with everybody. Aspirations to own your confidants. You'll have a great white. It will be true in 22. Thank you guys for having me out.